Alyssa Quart is a journalist, author, and critic who's captivated by culture and commerce. She's followed the transition of cities such as New York through gentrification and financial meltdown. In fact, her creativity is fed by the world of marketing, branding, and commercialism.
I'm obsessed with it. I don't know when that started. I think as a kid, I loved signs for restaurants. At that point, right, it might be neon signs for restaurants or Howard Johnson's. I was fascinated by jingles. And when I got a little older, I was really interested in photography of signs, like Walker Evans. So I guess I'm a critic of commercial culture, but I'm also kind of an aficionado. So it's a double thing, because I think there's a lot of strange beauty in the language of commerce.
Alyssa Quart has now turned the language and the impact of commerce into poetry. She has just released her first book of poems that are both personal and universal. The book is called Monetized. It's a form of civic poetry, a form that addresses issues of class and gender and the environment. We asked Alyssa Quart to read and tell us about part of a poem that she calls Views.
So that was a poem about gentrification in New York, actually.
Yes.
So this is sort of Brooklyn. This is quite old. I think it's probably 10 years, 11 years old. And I remember watching these young women in, I guess it was what's now probably, you know, some part of Park Slope or something. But
the women with the liquid paper arms.
Liquid paper arms disappearing and photoshopping and the buildings becoming luxury cubes, taking the space of the lower middle class and not noticing the tattooed torso that's going to be taking their home at some point.
But you noticed. Yeah. I mean, you grew up in New York.
Yeah.
You're a real city girl.
Yeah, exactly. So I did notice, and I biked around Brooklyn a lot in that period, I guess, and I was constantly trying to look at these signs of gentrification. So it's called Views. Anorexic transplant flashes skin at fashion sisters, liquid paper arms, vanishing anesthetic. Home is a lead-painted hut. An occupational art therapist made luxury cubes. She photoshopped. A liberal arts stripper silver-collared herself, a souvenir to man's bad taste. And then later, these are the lower middle's unlovely places, all named as paradises. Sunset Park, Neptune Avenue, Midwood, elm-shaded mother-daughter houses, managerial class fear of falling, surge-suited, a strollered citizens' brigade, Saturday evening post-its. They do not notice a man's tattooed torso, an ice cream cake falling into mortification as ceremony turns mourning to nostalgia, and villains and cities go on.
So give us another example of what you've observed as a part of your civic poetry.
So I went to Fort Lauderdale to a book festival, and it was funny. It's always quite humdrum, right? You know. But I was there on spring break, and I was thinking about Easter and Ascension, and it really had this kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah aspect. It was, as I describe it, day glow and people wheeling around half drunk at, you know, 10 in the morning, and, you know, older people too. And then all these yachts just like sitting on the docks like carcasses, because this was after the crash in 2009 or 10. I don't remember which. And I just was like, wow, I really want to write about what this moment feels like. So it's called Spring Breaks. Can we refuse ourselves, millennial bland angels, tectonically tapping our sweat-free abalone blouses, signatured water, neon-hearted? Let us be shielded here where the knots end, unnoticed, where yachts hope, shiningly unbought, all owners at risk, all trying to float.
You know, again, as we follow the chronology of our world, of New York City, of our economy, we're also following the chronology of your life. And you write very personally about changes in your own life, including when you became a mother. How long ago was that?
Yeah, I had my daughter 4 years ago, and it was a shock, as it is for many women who have kids. You know, it wasn't super late, but it was relatively late. And I was interested in writing. I mean, some of these poems are about the inner experience of feeling the thing that you spent most of your life doing, thinking and writing, has now been utterly replaced. And having, again, you know, complicated feelings about that and trying to figure out who you are. And also I was thinking about the motherhood penalty, which is something a lot of women experience in the workplace, where they're not they're not hired with the same frequency or for the same amount as women without children, and of course as men. So that influenced my thinking and my poetry as well. I mean, most of this book is very much through the prism of the journalism I've been doing. Yeah. So Green Fairy was a poem I wrote when I was pregnant, wanting to feel the joy that you're supposed to feel when you're pregnant. I felt it obviously later I feel it now very much, but I didn't then. So this is a kind of a dark fairy tale pregnancy. I was sick for a lot of it too, so that's part of it. The unborn filters sweets, steals bones, peels teeth, dines on fingernails. So a breakfast must be eaten, hand sanitized. And then later, where's the sweet lacquer around me? The Necco candy mother's coating I'd been promised. This maternity oxidizes on contact, acrid, residual, silver polish. But mothers should be base, not acid. Make cows, solve. Fairy books warned of cruel queens. A line of mothers, hands lanced.
Oh, that's painful. But things got better, thankfully.
Yeah. I mean, it was a difficult pregnancy, basically, that I hadn't expected.
Right.
Everyone was so joyful and everyone was, you'll feel better. And I was ill the whole time. And it was not. Yeah.
And then thinking that the unborn, as you say, filters sweets, steals bones, because you can get osteoporosis, I guess, or your bones weaken when you're pregnant, et cetera. Yeah. And then maybe if you can take us to the other side of that, after you gave birth.
Yeah. So I had my daughter and it was quite beautiful, but it was still confusing. I was still sort of in the experience of raising her more than, you know, my own mind. So this is a line from that. Like babies, their mothers may only see small pieces, close-ups, an exquisite corpse, meaning the figure won't cohere, only toes, hands, no body we understand. Baby says circles go on top of each other. All work is women's work. So, I mean, that's kind of me arguing with myself about what labor is, I guess, while I'm caring for her, which, you know, reflected a lot of what my journalism was about and is about. It's not just personal, it's sort of professional also.
I wonder if you can compare the experience of writing your nonfiction books to the experience of writing your first book of poetry.
Well, you know, I was always writing poetry on the side. I mean, that's part of the title, Monetized. It's kind of an ironic title because, you know, as Robert Graves said, there's no money in poetry, but then there's no poetry in money either, which I actually, and I felt like this book is a response to that, because I think there is poetry in money, but there is no money in poetry. So
you don't know yet. The book just came out.
Yeah, when it's adapted by Scott Rudin, I'll call you. But, it was a ironic title in certain ways, but then it's not, because it's also about that experience of being monetized. So, I mean, I saw the poetry as like a space that I could go to that, where language was not obviously, it was not paid by the word. I mean, literally.
Paid by the piece? Paid by the poem?
Poetry is unpaid. One poetry critic calls poetry negative economics, which I always love that. It's sort of like wonderful. I think poetry was sort of the form that now many arts are following in its wake, right? Everyone's doing everything because they love it, man, you know, because there's no, or, oh, because it's going to lead to something else. But so poetry is always this space of love.
Alyssa Court, thank you. Really nice to talk to you. And by the way, is today your birthday?
It's my birthday.
Congratulations.
Thank you.